He's back like a bad rash. Legendary broadcaster, Drew Marshall.
In this homeless and broken soul present we're in, let me see you. Amid orphans and...
All right, folks, we're a little bit behind schedule, but it's time for Live on TDMS, an hour, sort of, devoted solely to the art of music. Sponsored this month by SpiroWay.com. SpiroWay, meeting needs, delivering hope. S-P-E-R-O-Way, SpiroWay, great organization. This week's recording artist, John Brooks. JohnBrooks.ca is the website you want to go to. Listen to this quote. I write the songs that make the whole world... No, sorry, wrong one. I write songs to calm those who've looked into and seen what is in their hearts. I also write songs to terrify those who have not. Love that. And then there's a whole bunch of awards. Nominated, winner, winner, nominated, nominated, winner, 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 nominated. It's fantastic. Remember, this is like the old playing cards. Trade them, need them, want them. Got him, got him. John is also joined today by his good friend, Cary Cooper, a lady from Texas. Her website is carycooper.com. She's the Anne Lamott of songwriting, except she can get to the heart of things in 3 minutes instead of 200 pages. And then here's her list. Finalist, finalist, winner, winner, finalist, winner, winner, winner. Fantastic. So, guys, have a listen to John Brooks.
And in this age of unread first books, first words let me read with you. Cause the moment of night's end is the moment that dawn's light shines bright enough to see enough. Strangers face afraid.
A privilege to have this gang in the studio. You are about to be severely entertained. I'm drooling over the cracked Taylor that is on my left. Tell me about this guitar right away. I don't want to talk about you. I want to talk about your guitar.
Okay. First of all, I believe we're supposed to celebrate our defeats in life as much as we are to celebrate our victories.
Yes.
And as a way to celebrate the defeat of me being a Hammond organ player in a rock band in the early 90s.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I played on the Headstones for stuff.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. You know,
yeah.
Growing up in the funeral business, you'd think I'd know that band.
Yeah, right on.
Anyway, yes.
To celebrate the defeat of that band, I bought a Taylor guitar. That was in 1995. And the guitar has been, I guess it's the oldest thing that I still carry around with me.
Mm-hmm. Aside from your soul.
Well,
oh, that was heavy.
Yeah.
Or not.
Okay. Drew Marshall, everybody.
He's here all week. So I have a jumbo Guild that is very incredibly similar to that, except it's not a Taylor.
This guitar has finally learned over the years how to respond to the way I play it. And
right.
I wish a lot of young guitar players would understand that about instruments more than they do. You don't just go to the guitar store and buy something. It takes years for it to learn how to play the way you do.
Yeah.
All these cracks and everything, that's the guitar adjusting to me.
In the words of Chris Brown, in order to get a good guitar working the way you want, you got to beat it.
That's correct.
Wow.
That is accurate.
Did I really say that?
Yeah.
All right. John, C-I-T-C. Where have you been all my life? You know, I want to thank Ruby from Edmonton who sent us a clip of a video that you did, a song. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, when someone sends me something, I just kind of go, I look at it, and I stop soon because it's garbage.
Yeah.
But you hit it, man. It was a fantastic song. I can't remember what it was. But I had to have you on the show, so thank you. I'm really thrilled. Honestly, like legitimately thrilled that you're here.
Thank you, Ruby from Edmonton. I'll be in Edmonton November 2015. I love Edmonton. Edmonton Folk Festival was one of my favorite gigs.
Really? You're throwing out a date in 2015?
Shameless.
Tell us about this friend of yours who's sitting on your left.
Carrie. Where did we meet, Carrie?
We met at the Kerrville Folk Festival.
Ah, Kerrville Folk Festival. The cathedral on the Camino of Song is this place in middle of Texas called the Kerrville Folk Festival.
It's Mecca for songwriters.
I discovered this because I won the Kerrville New Folk. I'm just realized now that you asked Carrie a question and I'm...
No, I asked you to tell us about her.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
I want you to brag on her and then she'll brag on you later. That's the Canadian way to do it.
I thought they only said brag on in the States.
No.
Oh, man, I'm so confused. We're both New Folk winners. I'm one of, I believe, 4 Canadians that have won this prestigious contest since 1975.
Who else? Other Canadians?
John Ward Hanum.
Okay.
Carrie
Ruby
Catherine.
In Edmonton would Carrie know okay. John Ward Hanum. Okay. And she'd probably also know Carrie Catherine. If she doesn't, she has to introduce herself to her. And Rob Lutz in Montreal.
Okay.
Anyway, Carrie won it back in 2002?
Four,
sorry. And but we met at Kerrville, and we... You know, I'm always trying to repay favors.
And this is how you're repaying?
Trying to go on Drew Marshall story.
He still owes you big time. Let me just
tell you. It's honestly, it is impossible for a Canadian songwriter to repay all the favors that Canadians get in Texas. It just is.
Yeah.
But I do my best. And we had an opportunity to get Carrie up to play a tribute concert at Hugh's Room last night for James Taylor.
Oh, you're part of, what's that guy's name?
Michael Rycroft.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they're wildly popular.
So you met my buddy Jacob Moon.
Oh, yeah, I know Jacob.
Oh, you knew me
already. We did the Tom Waits tribute together, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah.
About a year ago. And that was reason enough to get Carrie up here, and I put together a few other dates, one tonight in Oakville at the Moonshine Cafe.
Excellent. That would be starting at, do you know what time? Asking a musician to wear a watch is like, what time?
8 p.m.
Really? Like, are you guessing? You didn't sound confident. Eight-ish.
You got me. I'm not going to bet my life on that.
Okay. All right. Let's stop rambling and give the people what they want. John, can you pull a song out of your hat for me, please?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on the Drew Marshall Show. Do you want to set this up at all or just do it? It's your call. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a pretty straightforward song. I will set it up by saying... It's the closest thing I have to an artist statement and a kind of a theological position, I would say. It's called Because We're Free.
Fantastic.
So the earth opened up under a satisfied sky. Saw the homes not flooded shrivel up in fire. I saw them loot all the corpses and rape all the wives. I saw the cops shoot themselves, the law fall on its knives. I saw an old man beaten as a young man watched while the tourists of dread were taking pictures of it all. I saw the prisons oozing out into the yellow-bodied streets, into the ecstatic justice of vigilantes. Why didn't God help? Why didn't he even try? Why didn't God help? Why didn't he even try? Baby, why? Baby, why? Baby, why? Baby, why? Because, my dear, because we're free. Because, my dear, because we're free. I saw the luxury of anger, I saw the ease of revenge. I saw a little bit of grace when a man jumped instead. Saw the pockmarked towns from the mortars above. I saw the people choosing fear cause they wouldn't choose love. I saw the hills white with limestone around the city's edge. The forests were littered with stolen shoes of the dead. I saw the cursed man climbing up his lonely olive tree. When the last nail went in, I saw three women scream. Why didn't God help? Why didn't he even try? Why didn't God help? Why didn't he even try? Baby, why? Baby, why? Baby, why? Baby, why? Because, my dear, because we're free. Ah, but there is hope for this world. For this world there is hope. Yes, there is hope for this world. For this world there is hope. 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 Because, my dear, because we're free. Because, my dear, because we're free.
Are you kidding me? Fantastic. John Brooks on the Drew Marshall Show, johnbrooks.ca. Absolutely mesmerizing and ridiculous that that would be the song that you chose to start off with, because that's the one that rocked my world. I just couldn't remember the title.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the one Ruby posted. She said, I think you'll dig this. So, once again, yay, Ruby.
Yeah, thank you, Ruby.
So, sometimes when I ask a recording artist if they want to explain their songs, they go, no, thanks.
I love explaining songs.
Okay, good.
That's a lie. I hate playing songs because that means the song didn't succeed.
Right. I should have asked you to do that beforehand, but yeah. You know who's really good? I've said this too many times on the show, but David Wilcox from the States, not from Canada.
Asheville, North Carolina.
Dude, I mean, the way he... Oh, you guys... Oh, okay. So the way he paints before launching into the song is like Dick Van Dyke on the sketch drawings on the sidewalk, and then you just jump in and you're there. You're just there. And he's a pain in the glutes when it comes to getting him to answer simple questions.
He's an interesting dude.
Oh.
He's very complicated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember irritating him at the basement in Sydney, Australia. And I actually asked him this question. What an idiot. I'm so ashamed. I asked the same question of Bruce Colburn and David Wilcox. Are you really a Christian? What an idiot!
No, that's a great question, man.
No!
Ask what a four-year-old would ask. They ask the good questions. Straight, simple.
You think a four-year-old would ask that question?
Do you really love Jesus? They might say that.
Well, I don't know. I don't have kids, so I'm the wrong guy to ask. But I think that kids have... I think they gush with like a more unalloyed kind of desire to know something. Whereas adults, we dance around things. And
yeah, we filter truth.
But, I mean, I would love to ask... people that, I mean, Colburn must have loved that question.
No.
He did not?
Mm-mm.
Really?
His answer was, some of the Christians say I am, and some Christians say I'm not.
Mm.
That was part of his answer.
Veteran
and
move.
I still, it really is. It's like he's part of the NDP now. I still, every time I talk to him, I still apologize for, because he remembers. He's like, who is this douche?
Are you allowed to say that on the...
Or now. It's a product. So, Carrie.
Yes.
What do you like most about John, and what do you like least?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Let's
we hardly
see.
Know.
What do I like most and least?
Yeah.
Which first? What do you want first?
Least.
Least? Probably that he lives in Canada and I live in the States,
yeah.
So we don't get to see each other very
yeah.
often, so we don't get to have opportunities to hang.
But as people say to me, they'll tweet something or Facebook me, and they'll say, oh, I really like you and your show, and I will respond by saying, I think it helps that we don't know each other.
I don't know. We've hung out enough to where
to
I
know.
Feel like I know enough.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
know what I need to, I think.
What's the one thing? What's at the top of the Love John list?
The top of the Love John list. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. I like how he is true to himself.
Okay.
He's an authentic person, or at least that's how he's presented
yeah.
himself to
yeah.
me.
Give it time.
His authenticity is really, really important, and once you learn to fake that, you got it made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carrie, what's your story? Like, who are you?
My story. I started writing songs when I was 37 years old because I had a therapist tell me that I was going to die if I didn't find something that made me happy. And I
most people turn to alcohol at that point.
That might have been a smarter move. Would have cost less money, probably.
Uh-huh.
But and I didn't have a clue of what that was going to be at the time. And a friend invited me to a house concert, which was a foreign. I had no idea what a house concert was, but I made the choice to go, and I sat down, and within the first, like half of the first song, I thought, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And
nice.
I went home and I immediately started writing songs, picked up a guitar, and started learning chords. And here
wow,
I am.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's a little inspirational, by golly. That's a TEDx talk just right there.
It kind of is.
Man. Well, okay. I don't want to talk anymore. Can I listen?
Sure.
Was that all right?
Absolutely.
Tell me, what are you going
to
do?
Oh, you want me to play?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play a song for you that's slightly irreverent, but...
Oh, no, not on this show.
I thought you might like it. I went to school with this boy. I grew up with this boy named Jimbo, who moved to my school in the second grade. And the first day of class, the teacher asked him to get up and introduce himself to the class. And so he stood up and kind of sauntered to the front of the classroom and said, my name is Jimbo Garner, like that. And she said, well, do you have anything else you'd like to say about yourself? And he said, no, but I think I'd like to sing you a song. And then
you're
he just
kidding.
Busted into, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, and sang the whole song from start to finish and instantly became like the most popular kid in the school. And then when we were seniors in high school, we dated for a little bit.
Oh.
And then we lost touch. And then we found each other on Facebook
oh.
a couple of years ago and started exchanging notes, kind of catching each other up on life and what had been going on for the past however many years. And I noticed that his notes to me kind of ended with this common theme, which was...
In his grip?
It was...
No.
But it did have to do with... how wrong I did him in high school.
Oh.
So I decided after getting one too many of those notes that maybe Jimbo needed a song. So this is the one he got.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Live on the Drew Marshall Show, the one and only all the way from Texas, Carrie
it's
Cooper.
Me. All right, here we go. I remember your old Camaro. It was loud and proud and fast as an arrow. When you drive up for dates, cussing your broken door, I'd shimmy through your window. My daddy would pace the floor. 'Cause I was 17 and a little bit scared to death of splendor in the grass and cigarettes on your breath, kissing in the backseat and going straight to hell till another fella came along and broke your spell. I went and left you for Jesus. Seemed like the right thing to always have more fun with you. I always have more fun with you. 'Cause Jesus didn't like to drink. Jesus didn't like to dance. Never stayed out too late. And he wasn't big on romance. At least that's what the preacher said when you took me to the senior prom. But you brought me home early on account of the devil and my mom. I went and left you for Jesus. Seemed like the right thing to do. I went and left you for Jesus. But I always had more fun with you. I always had more fun with you. So I'm sorry for those Bible verses I shoved down your throat. And I'm sorry for the sound that your heart made when it broke. Cause I went and left you for Jesus. Seemed like the right thing to do. I went and left you for Jesus. But I always had more fun with you. I always had more fun with you.
Oh my goodness, absolutely brilliant. Fantastic stuff. Man, okay, that's the end of our time with these guys. There's no way they can pull anything else better out of their hat than those two songs. Those were... That, both of those are Drew Marshall Show songs. Well done. Somebody did some research.
Thank you.
Man, that is... What a hook. That's a great hook, that line.
Thank you. There's actually a dude in... I don't know if he's... I think he's from Texas, named Hayes Carl, that has kind of the opposite song, which is She Left Me for Jesus.
Okay.
And I knew nothing about that song when I wrote mine, but as soon as I wrote it, all these people started saying, you got to hear his song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or sue him. Yeah. Man, that is just fantastic stuff.
Thank
very,
you.
Very well done. I can't believe you started it at 53. What was it again? Just kidding.
37, dude.
Just thought I'd be a jerk. It's a spiritual gift. Okay, listen, I want to recollect ourselves. We're going to come back after a very, very short break with John Brooks doing another tune for us, and we'll get Carrie to do another one as well. Guys, you are listening to Live on TDMS and devoted solely to the art of music. And this month it's sponsored by Spiroway. Spiroway is a unique faith-based charity that supports families in need, providing food, health care, and education. Believing in the power of collaboration, Spiroway works with partners to effectively reduce poverty in Canada and around the world. Located in Burlington, Spiroway has been delivering $8 million worth of food and supplies each year. Man. Through 70 agencies that fight hunger on the front lines every day, they deliver approximately 2,500 food and hygiene boxes each year to local at-risk families, 2,500, and have provided primary medical and dental care to over 40,000 people in Central America and Haiti. So to learn more about Spiroway, you want to go to their website, S-P-E-R-O, Spiroway.com, or connect with them on Facebook and Twitter. Have a listen. A little bit more, John, in the background. Stay with us.
Lone drivers and motels and coin laundries, hanging out on Fridays at the end of Roy York Road, smoking players' lights and talking like we'd know anywhere other than Mimico. And I left Humber College in vague hope to find something new to like and then leave it behind.
Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
I'm still praying, and I know you're listening to me. But I'm not staying the way I used to be. It was easy when I knew your name. I still see you, but you don't look the same. you're smiling with me. I'm not dying, just learning to be free. I'm no longer shackled to my shame. I grow stronger when I don't fear the flame. Raised my fists and busted through the sky. You rained down, said you are love as much as I.
The sweet sounds of Carrie Cooper. CarrieCooper.com. C-A-R-Y. CarrieCooper.com. All the way from Texas. A friend of John Brooks. John, thank you for bringing us this lovely gift. I was just saying off air that, Carrie, you have an eternally young voice. You weren't a fan of that when you were, you know, 12?
No, well, growing up, like, I remember being in high school, and I had a nickname that the boys called me Helium Breath. And
really?
Yes, and I hated that, and I was in drama, and my drama teacher actually worked with me to get the register of my speaking voice lower, but my singing voice never really took with that.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. That's
Thank
a gift.
You.
Absolutely stunning stuff. And you'll be performing tonight as well John Brooks at this place in Oakville called what again?
The Moonshine Cafe.
Why have I not heard of this? Why have I not gone there? Do you know where it is?
Kerr Street in Oakville.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's right on the main little
Where are we
drive.
Now? Isn't this Oakville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in town, but is it nowhere in Oakville?
Let me just double check. We'll get back.
Tim's going to, thank you. Thank you. Get on that, will you, Tim? Okay, so with the artists that come in during this last hour, I typically don't get into any God stuff with them, because the point of this last hour is really this, that music has spoken to my soul quite often more than words have over the years. So this hour is devoted to that. And I really don't give a holy grunt where people are at spiritually or what they think or believe. I just don't in this hour anyway.
All right.
But something tells me that I should ask this question with y'all. First of all, because you're from Texas, and everyone, that's where heaven actually is. When we all die, that's where we go.
True.
You step up to the pearly gates, and you get handed a Glock before you go into heaven.
Oh, that's so wrong. I'm sorry.
But
not all like that.
But let's pick on John first. How do you describe your spiritual head these days?
like a pilgrim standing kind of outside of the gates. And that doesn't mean anything, but I'm a big fan of the early monastics, Saint Francis. I immerse myself in theological and primarily Christian reading when I discovered what kind of songs I wanted to write, which was simultaneously the time I discovered I wasn't able to write those songs because I didn't know anything. I didn't know enough, you know. And part of that meant investigating what all of, you know, this modern Western world is predicated on, you know, the ideas and the stories. And so that's what got me into it. I came at it very objectively, too. I'm of a United Church upbringing, which is to say I am completely illiterate, you know.
Scripturally?
Yeah.
I grew up in the same.
It's different in the urban United Church, of course, but the rural King City, Ontario, 70s, 80s experience was very much growing up in the dark as far as Christianity goes.
Yeah.
So, and I'm lucky for that, because all my, you know, injured Catholic friends, nothing speaks to them anymore. They're just so cynical about anything that involves religion, and I'm not. I'm fascinated by it. Mm. Only recently have I actually been able to even answer such a question. I'm sort of done dancing around the subject with people. I don't really approach these things overtly in song, and the reason for that is simply if you try to tackle an idea head on, people run screaming. One of my favorite writers and influences is Thomas Merton, and he said in 68, the year that he died, he had said, you know, this is the post-Christian age we're in, and tomorrow's prophets will not come dressed in the liturgy, the liturgical garb of the church. They'll be, you know, it'll be kind of like, he never said this, but I wouldn't dare paraphrase him, but the idea being we have to go kind of covertly. And I like to think of myself as sort of like a black ops of empathy, you know? All my songs speak to those who understand the Christian story, you know, they get that and they love that.
But you're not limiting your audience. Like,
no,
you're,
no,
you're
no,
not
no.
saying that you really the only people that really get my songs are
no,
Jesus
no, no.
people.
No. That would be a total failing. And that's ridiculous. The last thing I think songwriters should be doing is picking up their instrument and singing the songs to the people that totally get them.
Yeah.
The purpose is the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people that wouldn't have a clue about this kind of stuff. That's okay. The songs still work. At least they work if they're good songs.
Yeah.
Stories. Essentially stories. A lot of allusion to Christian ideas, sure. But nothing overt that I'm aware of. I'm trying to avoid that anyway.
Do you think there's a God?
I'm with Dostoevsky on this one, okay? If it could be scientifically proven and shown to me that God does not exist, I would demand that I believe in him all the more. That's sort of, to me, the essence of what faith is, you know? Like,
so,
do I believe in an interventionist God? Absolutely not. That's for children. I don't buy that. And that's the last song that you heard earlier.
Yeah.
It kind of explains that. But, do I believe there's a God? Yes, I believe there's a God.
Are you spiritually bitter?
I am. The Polish poet Czesław Miłosz once described himself as being cynically hopeful. And I think that's kind of the same as spiritually bitter in a way. Or what do you mean by that? Maybe I'm misunderstanding.
No, I get
it. Tell me more about spiritually bitter. I'm curious about this. What's spiritually bitter?
Spiritually bitter would mean when I was part of a certain aspect of the tribe.
Okay.
The tribe convinced me that that God was intervention-y,
mm-hmm.
more than it became a reality in my life, and it's taken me a lot of years to realize that maybe that's not true, and I'm kind of ticked that I spent so many years thinking it was true. And they're still out there selling it.
I never went through a phase like that. And I am happily not spiritually bitter at all. That's what I mean. My friends of mine who grew up being forced into the Catholic school experience, you know, they're spiritually bitter. Mm. There's a lot of people who introduce themselves casually and I think illiterately as atheists when really they mean to say, I really haven't thought of it and I think the whole thing is suspect.
Yeah.
They're spiritually embittered. I don't feel that at all.
Okay. I got a lot of questions, man. Not now, but
now would be not a bad time. Fire away.
Do you have
any questions, Gary?
I have many questions, but I can save those for later.
Folks, you are listening, believe it or not, to the Drew Marshall Show, and we're in the studio with John Brooks and Carrie Cooper. And Carrie's from Texas. John is from this neck of the woods, and he's a folk freak. How many times do you think you've played Hugh's Room? Over
12, under 20.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've yet to see you there, and I'm looking forward to that day.
Possibly April. We're working on something.
Okay, good.
April 2015?
No. No, thankfully. But it does involve Edmonton, Ruby, if you're listening. Ruby knows my friend Maria Dunn. And she's from Edmonton, and she's going to come and join me on that tour. And,
cool.
And she's really great.
Can you do a tune?
Yes.
I mean, please, may you?
Absolutely.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do a song from my latest CD, Delicate Cages, and I'm going to...
Stand?
And I'm going to stand.
Yeah. Yep. John, set up the song.
No need to.
Okay.
Well, I used to admire most a melody and what it could do with love and words. And I used to admire most the poet who, with her pen, untangled
this world into verse. And I used to admire all I thought was profound. I plagiarized the prophets and the saints. Ah, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Oh, it's mercy that I admire most. And I waited out my low youth for a fallow spectacle, in line snaking round coliseums. Oh, I moshed in the drench under fame's soft fist clenched, and I paid all the scalpers dad's money just to see him. Ah, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Oh, it's mercy that I admire most. And I admire the pure of heart that will one thing. And I admire the steady in their routine. And I admire decision and the mind that endures it, and those who speak, though they be shamed. And I admire all the reckless voices for the voiceless, and the man standing in the path of tanks. Ah, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Mercy.
Again, kills it. Ladies and gentlemen, John Brooks on the Drew Marshall Show. Fantastic. Wasn't that good, Alex? Did you enjoy that?
It was good.
I'm just making sure Alex is asleep. I mean, awake.
What's Alex do here?
Alex the intern. He's our social, and what is it called again?
Social
tweeting, Facebooking guy, and he goes and gets us beers.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know. He's a Seneca student, right?
Cool.
One of these days we're going to interview Alex. He doesn't know that yet, but we are. He knows now. So when people hear you and then talk about Springsteen, what, how does that make you feel?
Well, that's always great to hear. I mean, I love Bruce. I hate his album covers. Love Bruce.
He hate his album. Should have the guy from, who's the guy that does the James Taylor cover? Didn't he do album covers? Isn't that his thing?
Oh, Ryecraft.
Yeah.
He needs a little Ryecraft in his life,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
But anyway, of course I love Bruce.
Look, I never know. This is, I think, just naturally people that listen to a lot of music will hear someone new and then go, oh, I hear some of that and I hear some of that. And sometimes, you know, as artists, you must get sick of hearing that. Carrie, who do you sort of get?
Occasionally Sheryl Crow.
Right.
Occasionally, who's the other one? Jill Sobule.
Okay. Oh, Jill. I had a great interview with her a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, did I like her.
I love her. She's so quirky.
Yeah.
She's kind of right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Well, actually, speaking of quirky, what is that? What is that?
This is a tenor ukulele. I didn't say it the right way, did I?
Ukulele.
Ukulele.
Really? Are we going to? Yeah. Is it a possum or is it an opossum? Anyway, we were talking about Michael Bennett, who's been on our show before. He's the only other ukulele player to have been on our show. Oddly enough, at the beginning of February, we'll have another ukulele player on our show. JoJo Worthington.
JoJo Worthington.
Yeah, from Ontario. Yeah.
JoJo Worthington.
Neat little girl. So what are you going to do? What's going on?
I was thinking I might do a song that's kind of an un-ukulele song. Somebody asked me, I write all these really kind of perky, quirky, fun songs on the ukulele, and somebody said, do you think you could write one that's not like that, one that's maybe sad or that's
you can't play a ukulele
keys
at a funeral.
Yes, you can.
Can you?
And I'm getting ready to show you that.
Really?
You can. Yes, actually, I wrote this song for my a friend back in Texas, a woman named Paula, who's in a community group that I'm part of, and we came together, this group of six women, at a point where we were all kind of seeking something a little deeper spiritually, not just like we didn't want to go to another Bible study, we didn't want to go to another women's event. We'd all read the book Wounded Healer by Henry Nouwen, and we're kind of looking for something like an authentic community. So we made this commitment to each other that we were going to be there through thick and thin. And I started in that group 15 years ago, and we still meet every Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah. And Paula, one of the women in the group, is blind and grew up blind. Her mother, it's a genetic thing. Her mother was blind. Her father was not. And she had one blind child. And but maybe 3 years ago, her parents were killed in a house fire. And it was just the most devastating thing you can imagine. And, you know, there's nothing comforting that you can say to somebody that's been through something like that. And so I was thinking about her and trying to think about what comforted me when I was in a bad place. And I thought of the words of my very Southern Virginia grandmother, who used to say, "Oh, honey, this too shall pass," just like that. So this is "This Too Shall Pass." Screwing this up. Just a little light. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. This too shall pass.
Very pretty. Very beautiful.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. Fantastic. Nice recovery, too. Well done.
Yeah, well.
Well done.
I blame James Taylor for that. I was concentrating on learning two freaking cover songs for the past month.
Oh, yeah? Which ones?
I played Handyman.
Nice.
And Don't Let Me Be Lonely.
Oh. He's my number one. I'm sorry.
Yeah?
Yeah. Him and Julia Roberts wish they'd get married. Just saying. What? Can a guy dream? Okay, so I don't know why this has any meaning to it whatsoever, but as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a conversation I had with Roger Hodgson after his concert up at Rama. And there's a guy who just stinks of spiritual pursuit. And just the way you left that, you know, that extended kind of, I don't know what the term is, but, you know, where you stopped, dropped, and rolled in that sequence, you know, it's very even in the quietest moments-ish.
Yeah, I hear that.
You get that?
Yeah.
Man, you guys are taking me places I did not want to go today, okay?
I don't want to stink of spiritual pursuit, though.
That's a great little line.
It's a great line. This guy doesn't waste any words.
Oh, I do. Yeah, you should have listened to the first 3 hours of the show. Listen, folks, that has been Live on the Drew Marshall Show, an hour devoted solely to the art of music and sponsored this month by Spiroway. Spiroway is a unique faith-based charity that supports families in need, providing food, health care, and education. Believing in the power of collaboration, Spiroway works with partners to effectively reduce poverty in Canada and around the world. Located in Burlington, Spiroway has been delivering $8 million worth of food and supplies each year through 70 agencies that fight hunger on the front lines every day. They deliver approximately 2,500 food and hygiene boxes each year to local at-risk families and have provided primary medical and dental care to over 40,000 people in Central America and Haiti. To learn more, visit spiroway.com. That's SPEROway.com. Or connect with them on Facebook and Twitter. What an absolute stinking pleasure to have you two here. The concert tonight in Oakville is at Kerr Street, just north of Lakeshore. Kerr Street, just north of Lakeshore. And the club, again, is called?
The Moonshine Cafe.
Got to go in the back door of that place, boy. That's where they got the good hooch. I don't know if I deserve this, but I am begging you to come back, please, sometime, somehow, and especially, Carrie, if you're here as well. I'd rather have you
November 2015.
Nice ending note. Well done. Well done. So much more to talk about, but that's the unfortunate thing with radio. John, thank you, man. I really appreciate you spilling a bit of your guts on the show.
I've had more fun than a barrel of lips, as they say in Texas.
That's just weird, man. That is a bunch of weirdos down there, I tell you.
Say that in Texas.
Yeah, that's got to be your standard line. As they say in Texas, and then just fill it with lunacy. Yeah.
On this tour, especially.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and Carrie, what a real pleasure. Real pleasure. What a great way to start off 2014, our first live performance by these two crazy cats. JohnBrooks.ca. Don't just listen to their stuff. Buy and listen to their stuff. All right? That's really how this goes, folks. They've got products that you can purchase and live with forever. And think about those songs that have permeated your soul, and you still remember them to this day. Well, that's the kind of music you're going to get from these cats. CarrieCooper.com and JohnBrooks.ca. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We're back next week. I have no idea who's on the show. It'll be somebody cool, I guarantee you. Stay with us. Stay with us. Don't stay with us. We're done. Bye. Well, you can stay with the station because we got, you know, more stuff coming up. I have no idea what I'm saying.
I'm swearing like a trooper, and I'm drinking like a bug. I'm a liberal backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun. So I'll be asking for forgiveness then, till the day I die.